The Senate will please come to order. The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Here.
Almond.
Here.
Brasso.
Here.
Boggs.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Haynes.
Here.
Hawks.
Here.
Hines. Jennings.
Here.
Job. Johnson.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Mockler.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Peck.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Vacy.
Here.
Von Flatron.
Here.
President Larson.
Here.
30 present.
Of the prayer this morning by Reverend Kurt Borgard of the First Christian Church here in Cheyenne. Please rise for the prayer.
Let us pause to ask for God's blessing. Dear gracious God of all, what a beautiful Wyoming morning you have given us, brisk yet beautiful. You are the source of all life, and your presence is everywhere. We pause this moment to acknowledge your presence here among us. And as this body of people gathers for the work of the good of all of the people of Wyoming, we pray that you bless this gathering and all of these people with your gracious spirit. As they are open to your spirit, bless their efforts and bless their lives. May all of us who enter in and out of this place be filled with the goodness of you, O God. May we open ourselves to your wisdom and to your compassion, to your caring, to your grace, to your creativity, and to your strength. And even as we thank you for the moment, the time of rest that you have given us this weekend, we pray that you be with us as we make decisions. May we be guided by all that is good. Gracious God, continue to bless the good people of Wyoming through all the work that is accomplished here. We pray all of these things and ask for your blessings to be with us all this day, even as we pray in the name of all that is, of all that will ever be. For it is in your name, gracious God, and in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 18th, 2005 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Johnson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, it is so ordered. The doctor for the day is Dr. Dan Dockham, MD of Laramie. I don't see Dr. Dockham. We have no nurse for the day. The thought for today kind of goes along with some of our bills that are going through. A diamond is a piece of coal that stuck to the job. Fellow senators, members of the Senate, we hope you all had a good weekend, that you're revigorated and here and ready to go. Even though today seems like Monday, remember it's not. There's only 4 days left this week, hopefully 4 days left next week. But fellow members of the Senate, joining us today to say a few words is our senior member of Wyoming's congressional delegation, I think, both by age and by seniority. And Senator Thomas is joined today by a very special guest, by Sheen Perenglee, who I think is up in the audience. I'll tell you about Mr. Perenglee, and then if you would remain standing, and then we'll give you a Wyoming Senate welcome. Mr. Perenglee is a journalist from the Russian newspaper Sherdevka News. He is visiting Wyoming for a month and is working in Rock Springs with Veteran Service Officer Patty Bergen. Mr. Perenglee is visiting Wyoming to write a series of articles on veterans and the services they receive from the government. He is also writing about agricultural issues and how to combat illegal drug programs, something that we're all highly motivated to do this particular session. Mr. Perenglee is accompanied today by Patty and Bill Thompson, and Mr. Thompson is the second vice commander of the American Legion in Rock Springs. Please help me in joining me in welcoming Senator Thomas and his guests, Mr. Perenglee and Patty and Bill Thompson. And Senator Thomas, we'd love to have you come up and make some words.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Dick Cheney once introduced me as the senior citizen of Wyoming. I didn't. We've got to get some things straight here, you know. Anyway, thank you very
much. Well, the good news is I'm about as old as you are. Not quite, but almost.
Well, hair different. Well, no. It's great to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity. I know you're very busy and have a relatively short time, so I'll try and be short. But I do want to thank you, of course, for what you do. I know it's difficult. Some say it's even more difficult when you have a little money to work with, but at any rate, it's a great job, and I know how much I enjoyed being here at that time. So we all have the privilege and the responsibility to serve Wyoming, and we have a chance to use our leadership to strengthen our way of life. And I'm hopeful, and I try to take a look out in the future and try to have a little 2020 vision as to what we want our state to look like, what we want our quality of life to be 20 years from now, and share it, of course, with our voters. And then as we have that vision, begin to measure what we do against the recognizing and achieving those kinds of goals. So I know that you're making efforts to improve Wyoming here in the legislature, and I intend to use my age and seniority in the Congress. I'm on the Finance Committee and the Energy Committee and the Ag Committee, and work to safeguard Wyoming values. I certainly, as you do, we have lots of different things that we're involved with, but every challenge, I think, has a way we need to deal with it so that it does strengthen and safeguard our interests. And I, like you, deal with lots of issues, and we can do that. So that's not a message to build a wall around Wyoming, but it's a message to have action for our state and for our nation. I think we have a lot of values to consider. We have to talk about the economy, of course, continuing to have an energy policy and continuing that. We need to have diversity in our economy, our agriculture, and our hospitality. We have to be careful of our abundant natural resources and give treasure to them. Our personal freedom, our independent spirit, I think our ability to limit government. I think we all want to limit the role of government, and yet sometimes as we work through what we're doing, we seem to get kind of a little bit beyond that. Clean air and water and lands, safety and security for our citizens. These are things that we need to work together on, and I certainly want to say that with Mike and Barbara, we have a team there that's working on this, and we want to work with you as well, both as a legislature and independently, as individuals, if you have ideas and things of that kind. So we have a lot of things we need to do, and certainly in order to accommodate myself here with the President, we need to look forward to some kind of a training center in Jackson, I believe, isn't it? No. any event, I do want to work with you in the future, and we can do a lot of work together. We have a great, great place, and the quality of life for Wyoming is really what we're dedicated to. And I thank you very much for the opportunity to meet with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, for those words. Believe me, we do value your seniority. Your service on the Finance Committee is, and the others, but Finance in particular, is critically important for Wyoming. So we thank you for your service. We thank you for coming and giving us some words of wisdom. Mr. Perrin-Glebe, welcome. I hope you learn a lot. Thank you. Concurrences. We have some concurrence requests. Senator Von Platern, are you ready on message number 416?
Yes, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read message 416.
February the 18th, 2005. From the House of Representatives, message number 416, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 127, four-lane highway funding. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote as indicated. Ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also recommend that the Senate concur and vote aye on message number 416 to House Bill 127. It was a four-lane, multi-lane highway bill. What the House did to this to amend it, what they did was not enough, but other than that, they asked for reporting, so they inserted that the department shall provide a report on the use and expenditures of these funds. The big difference in the bill is when it left the Senate, it was at $10 million. It is presently at $7 million. And the bill is alive and doing well. It just doesn't have all the funds that I at least wish for. But I recommend that the Senate vote aye on message number 1416 for Senate File 127.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 127, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Almond.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross. Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
So.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing.
Scott.
Aye to no. Scott. Aye to no.
Johnson. Aye to
Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote. Vote closed. 26, Senate File 127, 26 ayes, 4 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 127, message number 416. Senator Burns, are you ready on message number 410?
Yes, Mr. President, I am.
The reading clerk will read message 410.
February the 18th, 2005, from the House of Representatives. Message number 410, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 36, State Parks Major Maintenance Funding. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move concurrence on message 410, Senate File 36, State Parks Major Maintenance Funding, and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, the original bill was for $29 million, which was the total amount that the state parks needed for all the major maintenance totally. Senate Joint Appropriations, after questioning fairly closely of the head of state parks, figured that they could not possibly spend more than about $11 million. So Senate Appropriations knocked it down to $11 million. That's the way it went out. Went over to the House, and the Appropriations Committee there, after closer questioning, they figured out with the competition they've got in construction projects around the state right now and the pressure being put on contractors, it'd be more likely that they would only spend about $7 million, which is what the figure is in the concurrence report. They are in agreement with this figure, and so I ask the body to go ahead and vote aye on this, and then we will be visiting this again during this next budget session, and this is after State Parks has put in a major maintenance five-year plan. So we'll have a better idea of what we want to spend over the next 5 years. But this will take care of the most immediate needs for now.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on message number 410, Senate File 36. Is there any discussion on the concurrence request? Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler. Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 36, message 410. I have a conference committee to appoint on Senate File 129, crimes and offenses, voyeurism. The following are the conferees: Senator Ross, chairman, Senator Basie, and Senator Johnson. House bills on first reading. House Bill 305, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 305, Fair Practices of Equipment Dealers 2, sponsored by Representative Hageman. and Act relating to trade and commerce. It passed the House in an amended form on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill 35 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 4, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 4, Jackalope Official Mythical Creature, sponsored by Representative Edwards, an act relating to the official mythical creature of Wyoming. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 45, no 12, excused 3.
House Bill Number 4 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. It's about animals, folks. I'm about to have a Tony moment. House Bill 18, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 18, Sales Tax Exemption, Fertilizer, Herbicides, Pesticides, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 50, noes 8, excused 2.
House Bill Number 18 is assigned to Committee Number 12, Rules. House Bill 17, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 17, Sales Tax Exemption, Livestock Semen and Embryo Transplants, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 51, no 7, excused 2.
House Bill Number 17 is assigned to Committee Number 12, Rules. House Joint Resolution 1.
House Joint Resolution 1, State Legislative Review Reserve Accounts, sponsored by Representative Illaway, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution. Passed the House on an amended form on third reading. Ayes 45, noes 14, excused 1.
House Joint Resolution 1 is assigned to Committee Number 12, Rules. Reports from standing committees.
Standing committee report. House Bill 1. House Bill 1. Standing Committee Amendment 1. Your Committee Number 2 on Appropriations has reviewed House Bill 1 pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E 1 and 2. The following lists are provided. Senator Haynes, Chairman. Hines, Chairman. Senator Hines, Chairman. You need this. February the 18th, 2005, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 314, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators DiCaria, Haynes, Ross, and Session, excuse, Senator Burns, Senator Haynes, Chairman. Joint Conference Committee Report, House Bill 24, Sales and Use Tax Exemption Aircraft. February the 22nd, 2005, Mr. President, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 316, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Haynes, Johnson, Meyer, Mockler, and Scott, Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 205, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators DiCaria, Haynes, Ross, and Session, excuse Senator Burns, Senator Haynes, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 185, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Boggs, Peck, and Townsend. No, Senators Coe and Jennings, Senator Coe, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 114, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Ullman, Barrasso, DiCaria, Massey, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Haynes.
Mr. President, House Bill 314, engrossed, entitled Guardians Ad Litem, sponsored by the Joint Interim Judiciary Committee, has an appropriation, and I would request at this time that it be re-referred to the Appropriations Committee.
It will be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Joint Conference Committee reports.
Joint Conference Committee report, House Bill 24, Sales and Use Tax Exemption Aircraft. Reference Senate Message Number 210. Signing for the House, Representatives Rodney Anderson, Gerald S. Gay, and Representative Stephen Watt. Signing for the Senate, Senators Robert Peck, Jane Mockler, and John Schiffer.
Senator Peck, are you ready on message 270?
Mr. President, yes.
Senator Peck, it has been read.
Members of the Senate, this is the bill dealing with sales and use tax exemption for aircraft. We amended it about three times, and in our conference committee, why we agreed to delete the third reading amendment, which would have allowed refurbished aircraft to be sold without the collection of sales tax. We were kind of back and forth on that, and I think that we should agree to have that exemption deleted. And with that, I would move concurrence on message number 270, which was House Bill 24, Sales and Use Tax Exemption on Aircraft. The other changes were insignificant.
The motion is that, thank you, Senator Peck. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee Report number 270. And relating to House Bill 24, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Ullman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper. DiCaria,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Haynes,
aye.
Hawks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Job,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Bonflatern.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 27 ayes, 2 noes, and 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee Report on Message Number 270, reference House Bill Number 24. Bills on second reading. House Bill 23, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 23, Public Ethics Act, sponsored by Representative Libmow.
House Bill 23, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 60, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 60, Minor Victims Release of Names, sponsored by Representative Martin.
House Bill 60, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 65, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 65, Uniform Trust Code Amendments.
House Bill Number 65, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill Number 94, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 94, Environmental Health Study, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
House Bill Number 94, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 232, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 232, Economic Development, Excise Taxes, sponsored by Representative Buchanan.
House Bill 232, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 275, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 275, Methamphetamine Initiative Planning Study, sponsored by Representative Osborne.
House Bill 275, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 293, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 293, Illegal Drug Manufacturing Precursor Chemicals, sponsored by Representative Harvey.
There are some amendments. A amendment. House Bill 293, second reading, amendment number 1. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill Number 293, second reading, amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 9.
The Jennings amendment, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the amendment. Basically, what this amendment does, and it's quite a bit of amendment, I agree. It takes a law or statute that we're trying to put out there that has no teeth, and we're putting some teeth in it. What we have looking at us is the drugs that are on the shelf in allergy and cold medications that can be used to boil down to methamphetamine. The way that the bill stands, really doesn't do anything to restrict the access to those drugs. It's a bill that you can still walk in, you can take the drugs. Some places you may be under a video camera surveillance, other places the employees will watch you. The amendments that we put on it when it was introduced in general file opened it up to who could actually sell the drug. What we've done here, and my co-sponsor and I on this amendment, we've gone through and we've taken all the easy things to obtain this drug out. And we've basically taken these drugs, we've put them behind the pharmacy counter, and the only person that can sell these drugs is a registered pharmacist. The reason that we need this is because we also need the ability to track who's buying this drug. And the only way that we can do that is put our C5 log together, which the pharmacist is the only one that can put that log out. And what it would amount to is if you come in, you don't need a prescription, you can only buy the, I think we bumped it up to 15 grams on the first reading of this bill, you can still buy that. So you can go get whatever you need for your cold and allergies. The only difference is you'll have to go to the pharmacy counter to get it. You'll have to present a picture ID and sign the log. Not a big thing to help shut down methamphetamine labs and factories in our state. What it does is it takes the ability for our children or anybody else in the state that thinks, oh, I could make a couple bucks off of this, I'll run a batch, sell it, and out the door I go. It takes that away from them. So you have to come in, you have to present yourself, you have to log in, and that log will be sent to the pharmacy board by the 10th of every month. We up the fines a little bit so that the pharmacists know that we're serious about what we're doing. And what we've done is we've taken a bill that pretty much just is a let's tell everybody we're looking at it, and we put some teeth in it. We don't restrict the access to the drug to the people that need it or want to use it. It's still there. All we've done is we've put a way in to track who's buying this drug, and if they're buying it in large quantities, then we can come back to them and check and see if they have a lab. Now, we're going to have people say, well, what if I have a cold or I have an allergy and I'm driving past the truck stop where I always buy my cold medication? You can still buy that in the liquid form. The liquid form cannot be boiled down and made into meth. It's just the tablet form and the pill form that can do that. So we're not taking that away. You can still go get your remedy at a convenience store or any of the stores that carry cold remedies. You can still buy it in the liquid form. We're taking away the ability to walk up to the counter and walk away with the drug that makes methamphetamine. And I think for the protection of our kids, the protection of our society, we need this. If you look at the states around us, this type of legislation started in Oklahoma. They put in hardcore bill of hardcore teeth like this, and their figures show that they dropped their local methamphetamine production by 70% in 6 months. We're going to have the people stand up and say, well, most of our methamphetamines are coming from Mexico. No argument, but we're shutting down the ability to make them at home. The methamphetamine coming from Mexico is a different argument, different debate on a different day. We're not going to be able to address that here. But what we are addressing is the fact that these drugs are on the shelf and they can be taken out of the store, or worse yet, out of the back door of a convenience store in case lots. That's removed with the amendments that we put on this bill. Stand for any questions.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, just visiting with several of the large pharmacies over the weekend, and what they said to me was, do it this way. We would much rather have us in control of it back here than to put our people out in front and the people we hire being subjected being subjected to the people that come in wanting to buy large numbers of it. They're perfectly willing to do it. my people were in a couple of the large pharmacies here. They understand the risk. They said it's no different than what we used to do with codeine cough syrup. You buy it, you sign for it, we turn the report in, you have a tracking method, and it's our responsibility back here to handle this, and not the people we hire out in our stores, that you're putting them, you're really putting them in positions that are not real good for them to be in. So I guess it's pretty straightforward. You present an ID, you sign your name, and you buy it and you leave. And there's no hassle, there's no counting, there's no anything. So I would urge us to adopt this and see if it will make a difference. And I guess in view of the seriousness of the problem, I think a picture ID and a signing of a name is maybe something that citizens should step forward and do and do their part to help us with this. So thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I've been carrying this bill on the floor because there were no senators assigned. It came through my committee, and as committee chairman, I got stuck. Mr. Chairman, I think, and I may be putting words in our mouth, but I think the prime sponsor of the bill would disagree with this amendment, because it will make it more difficult for the legitimate products to be sold to people with legitimate needs for them. This will take it out of the convenience store. It'll make it something you have to go to a pharmacy for. There's a number of places in this state where pharmacies are not regularly available and are not available at some of the hours you might like them to be. We had testimony in committee on another bill that Pine Bluffs, for example, in this county, no longer has a pharmacy. Having said that, you are significantly making it more difficult. You've got to show an ID. You've got to sign the log. It makes it a much more serious transaction. You've got to really want the drug. It will continue to be available in the... You can use liquid forms that are pure liquid to make the stuff, and that's on the restricted list here. But if it's a liquid mixed with another substance, that form will be readily available, and that can't be used because the contaminants prevent it from being used. Having said that, and tried to present the argument on the other side, Mr. President, I think this amendment significantly strengthens this, will make it much more effective, and I think the judgment the Senate has to make is the weaker version that comes to us sufficient to stop these things, or do we need to put in the extra inconvenience that this amendment proposes in order to make sure we get these labs stopped? And we want to stop the labs, because I can tell you they can be just devastating. They contaminate the property. They're likely to contaminate small children that are present, because they often are in these things. We had a case up in Casper, and Mr. President, they said that there were young children in the house and that every item of food in the refrigerator was contaminated with meth byproducts. We're poisoning the kids. So we clearly want to stop these labs and force the production out of the state, because they have really adverse consequences. And it's my judgment, Mr. Chairman, this amendment does that. But I think that there's an argument on the other side, and you'll probably hear it if you talk to the prime sponsor of the bill.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is not a good amendment, and I stand in opposition to it for a couple of reasons. First of all, the amendment was proposed as saying that they want to put some teeth into a toothless bill. The bill in front of us right now has lots of teeth, and it can sink pretty deep. Right now, it is not illegal for you to own any amount of grams of the meth precursors. When this bill passes, or if it passes, now if you own 15 grams or more, you can get 15 years in jail. Okay, that's an amendment we passed on the first reading. I don't think that's toothless. A $25,000 fine and 15 years in jail if you now own 15 grams or more of these. The amendment also gets rid of the exemption for this for retail distributors and wholesalers of the drug product, liquid and non-liquid. Now, I don't know of any kind of convenience store in the state of Wyoming that's going to store this stuff if they're going to be fined for having more than 15 grams of the things on their shelf. So we're going to eliminate, essentially eliminate, the ability to get cold medicine and other things that we use day in and day out, especially at this time of the year, from just about every convenience store in the state of Wyoming, but particularly in the small areas of our state. Okay? That's unnecessary. This bill already has other teeth associated with it. Look at the fines over on page 6, Mr. President, in which a first offense for not displaying this correctly is $100. A second offense is $500. And a third offense is 2 years and a $1,000 fine. That's up to 6 months in prison. That's some pretty good teeth in our bill right now. And then finally, going over to page 9, subsection N, for anyone who fails to report, anyone who fails to fill out the logs and send those reports into the Board of Pharmacy, again, the same type of things, $100, $500 for the second offense, and the third offense could be up to a $1,000 fine. The problem that Oklahoma has, and we heard this in the testimony in support of this amendment, the problem that Oklahoma has been facing is that people who need cold medicine, especially when the pharmacies close, can't get it. They can't drop down at 9 or 10 o'clock at night when they suddenly get sick to their local pharmacy and be able to pick this up. And these are in major cities of Oklahoma, not the kind of rural areas that we have in Wyoming right now. This bill is meant to begin cracking down on this problem. Okay, there are plenty of provisions in this bill which restricts their access and makes sure that only the right people, only the people who are going to use it for the right purposes are going to get it. In addition, for the first time, we have reporting requirements that anyone who sells this stuff, a manufacturer who sells this to the convenience stores, must fill out so that we can begin tracking where an excessive amount of the use occurs. So I don't think that we need this amendment. The present bill has a lot of teeth in it. It's going to deal with the problem in a measured way. Okay? Meth is a problem in this state. Okay, but we have to approach it in a very thoughtful way, and I would remind everybody to remember the line from Alice in Wonderland, when the Dormouse said, keep your head, keep your head.
Further discussion on the amendment, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I too urge you to use caution in this amendment. I think all of us share the concern about methamphetamine. And all of us share the concern about those labs and the dangers. We've certainly gotten education on that in the last 10 years and seen the effects. But I also urge you to think of a map of the state of Wyoming, and you look at how many small, isolated little towns there are scattered around. There just are not pharmacies around. I can give you an example. In my neighborhood, if you get a cold in Lynch or in Casey, or say over in Barnum, or over in Farson, or maybe in Kirby, you're not going to be able to buy cold medicine. Now, that's a legitimate relief for people. They're not drug dealers just because they get a cold. And this bill really penalizes them for doing that. I urge you to use caution. We're going to be able to track, with the reporting required in this, we can track the effectiveness of this program. If we need to come back in 2 years, that's fine, or maybe we need to come back in 4 years. But please, let's go slow. You know, we're not all criminals. Well, actually, half of us are. We're getting there. By the end of this session, we'll have half of us be criminals. And we don't want that. This is a good bill. It's a good system. This is, quite frankly, I believe, overkill. Let it go ahead as the bill is. Let's monitor it. Let's see how it's working. Please, don't just wipe out cold relief in all of the small communities across this state. People do actually need some cold medicine every once in a while. I urge you to vote no on this, Armour.
Further discussion. Senator Sessions, for your second time.
Mr. President, just a thought that occurred when we went through this bill with people who actually buy and sell this stuff, and if we put the current bill into law. Do you know what risk you're putting your people who are selling this with this bill in your small communities? If you don't put someone in charge of this, that kid at that counter, 15, 16 years old, in a convenience store, or someone else, this bill, as it stands right now, this is my concern. We're putting those people at risk. What's their liability and what's their risk? Have you ever seen that happen? Or I've not seen it happen, but I've heard about it happening when somebody comes in for the number of packages that they want, and they go to a small place. And when we put this law into effect, then those people in those small places are really at risk. And this is what the pharmacist said to me. He said, if we're going to do this, let us handle it. He said, my people out there can't be put, he said, we can't do this to them. So I didn't realize that until we sat down and went through this with them, and they're the retailers, people. And so I guess, you know, it's your choice, but I don't know how else to restrict it and to make the people safe also that are selling it. So whatever you decide.
Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, President, first I'm going to ask for the yeas and nays. Mr. President, this is a change of considerable substance in the bill. You've heard the arguments. I think they're fairly presented. We adopt this amendment, we'll be much closer to the states that have proven to work in getting rid of these precursors, making them unavailable. I think with the bill as it comes to us, there still is some risk. You balance that against the convenience of the availability in the small towns and the availability at odd hours, and you've got to go to a pharmacy and basically go through all the procedures you do, sign the log and whatnot, for a prescription. And you've got to show your driver's license or some other form of ID so that they know that it's really you. If you need a cold remedy at a time when your pharmacy is not available, it's inconvenient to get to, your town doesn't have one, well, you buy one that has one of these products in combination with something else. And that is perfectly, it's unrestricted under this bill, because the testimony in committee, Mr. President, was very clear that if the product is in combination with something else, that makes it unusable for the home lab as a precursor. They can't get rid of the contaminant. So there is a remedy, and I think it's appropriate that we make the products that are the ready precursors that much more difficult, because we know that works. But it's a balancing. You get good arguments on both sides. I ask the Senate to use its judgment and pass the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Massey, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. And the final thing I wanted to note is that the present bill, without this amendment, already does significantly restrict this. We don't need to restrict it anymore. Looking on page 3 of the bill, lines 4 through 8, it says, a sale in packages containing not more than 3 grams of one or more of these methamphetamine precursor drugs. So you already are restricted and it's a very tight restriction, and you can only buy a limited amount of this stuff when you go to the drugstore to start with. This stuff is in full view of the clerk. They either have to have it behind them or so that they can see it. And cash registers are set up at the larger stores around the state to where they'll freeze up if you try to buy more of this stuff than you really should be. So it's already restricted. This is going to restrict it further. And I can see why pharmacists like it, because right now you can go to just about any store and buy the liquid version of it. Under this amendment, you can only go to the pharmacist store to be able to do it. So it's already restricted. We've already gone a long way, yet it's still the ability to be able to go out and get cold medicine in some of our smaller communities. It's still in this bill.
Further discussion before the sponsor has his second term. Further discussion. Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, thank you. This doesn't stop you from buying cold medication. As my colleague over from Natrona County pointed out, the liquid version of this that has a mix is still available. I take one of these every day for my allergies. I'm one of the people that will have to qualify under this, and I don't have a problem with it at all. I will be glad to walk up there and show my picture ID and sign the log, because if you don't, the only people that you're tracking without this amendment are the manufacturers and the stores. You're not going after the guy sitting there with the meth lab. You're going after the guys that are selling the drug. You're making criminals out of the people that make their living off of this, not a criminal out of the one breaking the law. So when you're tracking people doing regular business, and you say, well, just because you sold a whole bunch more of this, now we're going to look at you, you've left the criminal out here by himself. This bill, this amendment to this bill will zero in on the criminal. This will zero in on the person that has the lab. You look at the fines in this. $100? If you're selling case lots of this out the back door, you're underage, you have a manufacturer come to you, and you pour a couple of cases of this in the back of his truck, and you find $100, that drug manufacturer's going to make more than that in the first hour of manufacturing. And we call that teeth? No. The teeth in this bill is the fact that you walk up there with your photo ID, you write your name on the list, and if you're one of the guys that are going from store to store to store to store buying your feedstock to make this, that's who we're after. Not the manufacturer, not the people, the manufacturer of the legal drug, and not the people that are selling it. And I agree with my co-sponsor over here. If we leave this bill the way it is, and we leave those drugs out there for kids at the counter to sell, we're putting that kid in the middle of the night at that convenience store in danger of one of these manufacturers for the meth to walk in there, clear the shelf, and it's just like any other robbery. And it will happen with this bill without any teeth. I urge you to vote for this amendment and look at it in 2 years to bring it down instead of watering it down and have to come back in 2 years and make it tougher like we should have today. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment. The yeas and nays having been called for, the question is House Bill number 293, second reading amendment number 1. The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Jobe?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 19 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 293 has failed to be adopted. Back on the bill. House Bill 293, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Here, no objection. It is so ordered. Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I request privilege of the floor.
You may.
Okay, Mr. President, One of the organizations that I most admire, and I know you all do in our state, is the FFA. And I have one of the FFA groups from Senate District 6 in the West Balcony. And if you will please stand in the balcony and join me in welcoming the Burns High School FFA.
Thank you, Burns High School. Welcome to the Senate. Senator Jobe, I think you have some guests.
I do, Mr. President, and thank you. May I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
I'd like to introduce three students who earned their way to watch government in action by writing the top essays in each of their high schools in Rock Springs, and they are sponsored by the Southwestern Industrial Association. And every year, the Southwestern Industrial Association does something to bring students down here at no cost to the students. So I would like to introduce you to Phil Carter from Green River High School, Elaida Smith from Independence High School, which is our alternative high school, and we're very pleased to have her here, and Amber Wilson from Rock Springs High School. So I'd ask you to welcome her. Mr. President, I might say, given their interest in the questions over here, they might all be sitting here someday.
Thank you, Senator Jobe. I had the distinct opportunity to visit with these three outstanding young men and women over there. They're very, very sharp, and I welcome them to the floor of the Senate. I hope you learn a lot. Come back and run. We need younger people, particularly in the Senate, as we old guys say. House Bill number 333, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 333, publication of Municipal Ordinances 2, sponsored by Representative Martin.
House Bill number 333, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 345, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 345, incentives for mineral exploration 2, sponsored by Representative Miller.
There is an amendment. The reading clerk will read second reading amendment number one.
House Bill 345, second reading amendment number one to engrossed copy, page 2, line 5.
The Mockler amendment, Senator Mockler.
President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 345 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. I believe it is a friendly amendment. If you look at the bill, it's long because, as you know, each of these minerals is given the incentive. So the amendment really, if you just look on page 2 at lines 5 and 6, you'll get a sense of what I'm doing throughout the bill. Although the senator from the mother county has assured me that there are diamonds under the pen, which makes the land crunchy and thus not as appropriate for development, removing them would have made it a much better opportunity for us to look at. And the senator from Uinta County told me that if we get all the oil out from under it, it would benefit the land. It would be less soggy. I wasn't convinced, and I would ask that we take the sentence and just say which activities are performed on land in the state, as opposed for the benefit of the land. I think that's a modification or modifier there that really doesn't make a lot of sense, and would ask that you accept the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Peck.
That these amendments improve the bill and make it more clear, I urge you vote aye.
Further discussion on the amendment. All in favor of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 345, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 345, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. On the consent list are House Bill 63, State Investment Standards. House Bill 69, Public Transit Account Appropriation. House Bill 142, Municipal Incorporation. House Bill 143, Incorporation of Municipalities Surveys. House Bill 155, Uniform Management of Public Employees Retirement Act. House Bill 228, School Finance Model Recalibration. And House Bill 257, University Securities Law.
On the consent list, House Bill 63, State Investment Standards. House Bill 69, Public Transit Account Appropriation. House Bill 142, Municipal Incorporation. House Bill 143, Incorporation of Municipalities Surveys. House Bill 155, Uniform Management of Public Employees Retirement Act. House Bill 28, School Finance Model Recalibration. And House Bill 257, University Securities Laws. Would any senator like any bill removed from the consent list? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, just to make sure we're on track, I'm not sure when you read House Bill 228, whether you read it as 228 or just 28, but it's House Bill 228, School Finance Model Recalibration.
In case there's any doubt, it was House Bill 228, School Finance Model Recalibration. Would any senator like any of those bills removed from the consent list? Seeing none, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? The Assistant Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Coe. Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines. Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 63, are there any changes?
Case,
aye to no. Geis, aye to no.
Scott,
aye to no.
Meyer, aye to no.
DeCaria. Job, aye to no. Vasey, aye to no. Closing. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 63, 23 ayes, 7 noes. House Bill 69, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 69, 30 ayes. House Bill
We both have sore throats today. House Bill 142. Are there any changes?
Case,
aye to no.
Johnson, aye to no.
Job, aye to no.
Massey,
aye to no.
Nicholas,
aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 142, 24 ayes, 6 noes. House Bill 143, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Job, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 143, 26 ayes, 4 noes. House Bill 155, are there any changes?
Scott,
aye to no. DiCaria, aye to no. Sessions, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Massey, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 155. 25 ayes, 5 noes. House Bill 228. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 228. 30 ayes. And House Bill 257. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 257. 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 63, State Investment Standards, House Bill 69, Public Transit Account Appropriation, House Bill 142, Municipal Incorporation, House Bill 143, Incorporation of Municipalities Surveys, House Bill 155, Uniform Management of Public Employees Retirement Account, House Bill 228, School Finance Model Recalibration, and House Bill 257, University Securities Laws, have passed the Senate. Fellow senators, at this time, we're going to have the budget amendments explained by the members of the Appropriation Committee. We're replacing this process, as we did last year, replacing the process of the straw poll, which, quite frankly, had become meaningless. And so they will all be explained by members of the Appropriations Committee, after which we will appoint a conference committee. And so at this time, Mr. Chairman of Appropriations, Mr. Vice President, would you like to have privilege of the floor to explain all of the budget amendments?
Mr. President, I will use what we call our cheat sheet. You have that on your desk, plus the official list of the amendments and all the amendments, but they're time-consuming to hunt them all up, and so if we can look at the cheat sheet, we'll go through that rather quickly and then allow for questions. I will handle part of it and then defer part of it, and when we get into the questions, will different members that have worked in those areas, agencies more in the budget, will be explaining and answering questions. The first section, if you have your cheat sheet available now, are the identical amendments. I will not spend very little time on those. I think we can look through them and understand them very well. We have quite a few identical amendments, as you see in the first section. the more those we have, the less that there is to discuss during conference committee. As we move down to Section 2, the amendments then, the first one, is House 30, Reading Amendment number 5A, and it adds language to the retiree health insurance study to include looking at sick leave, the health insurance benefits and plans. No money was involved in this, just a footnote for more or less for a study. Then most of those amendments in Section 2 were Senate amendments. We go down further until we get House Second Reading Amendment number 11A, and that has to do with the game and fish budget that we approved earlier, the debt service, and they reduced that by $180,430 out of general fund and 5 full-time positions. If you recall, this is the money that we put in for the brucellosis biologist position working in the state lab and addressing the issue in Wyoming where we have lost our free status in shipments of cattle. The next section there where you see the $600,000 are a series of amendments that are very close. The dollar amount is close. It's the same with the Senate. We both added $600,000 for 5 additional troopers. First that was out of the general fund, and then we both changed that to the Transportation Department fund. And the only difference when we get all done with the footnote is in the House side, where they have recommended that 5 troopers for next year budget. We did not have that in our amendment, so that is the only difference we have in that area. As we move down, we have 2 amendments on the bottom of the first page. House Second Reading Amendment 5A, and this adds a footnote to the Department of Health Office of Rural Health requiring the department to keep the current physician workforce database. The next amendment, it was Second Reading Amendment number 4A, and it was also in the Department of Health Budget Office of Medicaid to use $10,000 of existing general fund money to purchase educational cancer screening material and provide them to Medicaid providers. As we go to the second page, Mr. President, the first 4 amendments are Senate amendments, and then the next amendment, which is House Amendment, third reading number 1A, adds a footnote that allows the state state land investment board to invest $8,000 from the common school land fund to purchase land and improvement. The following amendment, House Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1A, that's for $179,000, and it was general fund to go to the Office of State Land and Investment for weed control on state trust land. We did have that amendment here, and it was offered and rejected. That is all the ones in Section 2. As we move down to Section 3, which is capital construction, the first amendment there is $300,000. It's similar to our Senate amendment in where we both added $300,000 to the historic Governor's Mansion Rehabilitation Project. The difference is an amendment that changed the footnote that the House had. We did not have that footnote in ours. As we go down, then that's all the capital construction differences that we had with the House. We'll go into the amendment for Section 300, and what I'm going to do at this point is skip over those first series of amendments that has to do with the transfer of the different funds. It's rather confusing. We do have a handout, and Senator Nicholas will handle all that in a few minutes. The next amendment that is different, the House added second reading amendment number 18, AC. It's for the $28,420,000 out of the School Foundation Fund, and it was for K-12 employee salaries, and stated that this section is not effective if House Bill 185 is enacted into law. This was presented and was did not pass on the House side, on the Senate side, excuse me. The next two amendments, which are House Second Reading Amendment 24A and House Third Reading Amendment 13AC, they added a little over $9 million general fund money for retiree health insurance benefits of $200 per month. Then in the next amendment, they amended their amendment and required that they would have to have 20 years of service to qualify for this $200 per month benefit. That changed the total appropriation down, reduced it to $6,448,000. The next, I believe it is, three House amendments had to do with Section 333, and this is, they added $58,400,000, which was the amount of the money on House Bill 5 that was for local government distribution. They had two or three amendments right in there, but they all basically amounted to that same issue. The next amendment is House Committee of the Whole Amendment 16, AC, and it also addressed Section 333. It added $400,000 out of the School Foundation Program to the Department of Education for a teacher recruiting assistant plan if House Bill 278 is not enacted into law. If I remember correctly, the House did not consider that on general file. Then we move to the third page. And there's not the First Amendment, that was our amendment. The next three amendments had to do with the North American Indian Development Center. And it was we both approved the $600,000, but we also had an amendment that was certifying the office at the University of Wyoming. I believe that's where the money went to, so we would be in compliance with our Constitution, where all laws, all money appropriated, had to be go to an authority that we had control over. The next two amendments was similar, but the dollar amount different. The Senate Third Reading 14 and the House Committee of the Whole Amendment 4, which had to do with the Frontier Prison funding. We put in $117,000, and they put in $215,000. That is the differences, except for the section that I meant that I deferred from, and so at this time I'll yield to Senator Nicholas to handle the section for 300, section 301. Then we'll take questions from the House, from the Senate.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And there are a couple of diagrams. If you look at this spreadsheet of three pages that has says differences between the House and Senate on savings, and it came out a little bit later this morning, and there's actually a colored flow sheet that has some errors on it, but it'll help me explain a little bit what it is. The most accurate is the three-page flow sheet. Some people haven't found it. It came out in a separate package. There's lines on the back. There you go. Okay, as you're going through, I think the first thing to recognize is the difference between profiled and unprofiled amounts, just to make sure you understand that. For those of you that are here last year, you'll recall that we appropriated $272 million from the budget reserve account into the school capital construction account to make sure that we fully funded our entire school capital construction obligation. We also earmarked revenues from co-lease bonuses into the school capital construction account. With co-lease bonuses, the way that works is that we book only those sales that have been approved. So only those sales that have actually gone out and there's been a sale made, prices bid, and the federal government approves the sale, do we then at that time book those revenues. Now, in most other instances, we accrue our dollars in anticipation because we're not on a cash basis and we're on an accrual basis accounting. But in this case, for co-lease bonuses, we don't count our chickens before they hatch. However, we anticipate that there are enough, just because we know what coal mines need for their inventories, and we anticipate, if you look down the stretch, in order for them to meet their needs, that there's going to have to be sales that will generate in excess of $272 million of sales. So the difference between the profiled and unprofiled are the difference between the sales that we have presently booked and the anticipated co-lease bonuses up to $272 million. So we anticipate we have those, so we've not profiled them. We think they'll arrive. If you look at the colored sheet, just for example, and you'll see that I got mixed up when I did, but it gives you the flow. Your Joint Appropriation Committee made a recommendation that from the Budget Reserve account, we would put $200 million from there into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. We also made a recommendation to the extent that the future co-lease bonuses come back to the school capital construction account and really fill that account back up. In the event that there's $272 million, that money would first be returned to the budget reserve account, and after it hits there, it would be redistributed to the legislative stabilization reserve account, a new statutory account. Now, the profile amounts right now, of that 272, all you'll see on the goldenrod is $36 million. So that means of the $272 million that we anticipate may arrive there, we've only received $36 million. So now as you look at the difference between the Senate and the House positions, what you're really doing is trying to account for the difference between profiled and non-profiled amounts. So if you look at the House position, if you now turn over to let's do the Senate first, which is the second page of the sheet. And I apologize for you, but it's the Mockler Amendment, the 3008. What the Mockler Amendment did was where the JAC had recommended that $200 million be taken from the budget reserve account and move that into the permanent mental trust fund, that amendment stopped that appropriation, so there is no direct appropriation to the account. However, we put through Senate File 925, which is a direct is an earmark of nearly 1% of federal severance taxes into the permanent mental trust fund. So we have Senate File 25 that is passed here, and as I understand, is on third reading in the House today. So it directly allocates another 1%, that $93,800,000, into the permanent mental trust fund. So if you look at our profile flows, you'll see that Senate File 25 is up in the upper right-hand corner, and it takes directly $93.8 million into the permanent mental trust fund. The Mockler Amendment then said, okay, when the $272 million come back into it, to the extent that there is not the amount equivalent to Senate 25, that amount will go into the budget reserve account. So if you look now to the unprofiled flows, now we're assuming that we get receive at least, and it may be more, maybe less, $272 million of coal lease bonuses into the school capital construction account. If we receive the full amount, then the same amount of Senate File 25, that is $93.8 million, will flow to the budget reserve account. The balance will be distributed in half going to the permanent mental trust fund and half going to the legislative stabilization reserve account, so that to your unprofiled amounts in the end, you would have $93.8 million of the coal lease bonuses returning to the budget reserve account, $136 million going to the permanent mental trust fund, and $136 million going to the legislative stabilization reserve account. Now, if you flip to the next page, you get the House profile flows. The House took a different approach. The House did not change the appropriation, the direct appropriation of the budget reserve account to the permanent mental trust fund. That remains at $200 million. However, they did reduce that appropriation by the amount of Senate File 25. So to the extent that Senate File 25 still goes through, then the $200 million is reduced by Senate File 25. The next thing that the House did was with the coal lease bonuses. They said up to $30 million is to go to the legislative stabilization reserve account. So they capped the amount going into the legislative stabilization reserve account. And then the rest would flow over to the permanent mental trust fund, and that was the profiled amount is $6.2 million. But when you drop down to the profiled amount, because they capped allowing only 30 million to flow through the legislative stabilization reserve account, the rest of the money then flows through to the permanent mental trust fund of $100 million. Because they have to account for the interaction between House Senate File 25, then you have more going to the budget reserve account. So the House's position, if all the revenues flow through, is still you have $300 million going to the permanent mental trust fund, only $30 million to the the LSRA account. So when you see those positions, and that really accounts for the principal differences between the parties on the goldenrod, where you see that we're a positive $180 million and they're in the negative $18 million without even considering the statutory reserve. Got it?
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, as you see, the Conference Committee might take 2 or 3 minutes
straightening that last discussion out. Another area that might take a couple of minutes that I didn't expound on a whole lot, and I probably should have, was back on for the local funding area that was in House Bill 5. As you recall, last year we set up a 300 section that called for 2 years funding, and each one of those years had a funding formula. That formula for the second year is still in effect, plus this is a third formula. So that it will also take a little discussion, I think, in this area. I think, Mr. President, we are open to questions, see if we can answer some that are not clear.
Any questions from the members of the Senate for the Appropriations Committee? Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not so much as a question, as a heads up to whoever the five members of the conference committee might be. The very last amendment that we adopted on our side of the budget, which I proposed, and which is the very last line on your legal size sheet, was pulling back $12.2 million, from the tail coverage loan program account, back into the budget reserve account. And I based that $12.2 million when I did the amendment upon information that I had received from the Office of Rural Health. They had indicated they had only given out like $150,000 up to that point, and the deadline for applications was January 15th. With this amendment, we left $1 million in there, which seemed at that time plenty. Well, by the end of the day, and after we had closed the budget, the Office of Rural Health had gotten back to me, indicated that the figures they had given to me were wrong, that they had some applications that they hadn't processed yet that they had received before January 15th. So I wanted to let folks know, in order to cover those additional applications they hadn't processed yet, we removed about $500,000 too much from that account. So instead of bringing $12.2 million back, we should have brought just $11.7 million back. So there is not, there's no House amendment on this, so I believe that if the committee should choose to do so, they could make that correction when they get together. And so I just wanted to give the body a heads up in order to keep that count solvent and to cover all the applications, which again, they had not let me know about when I made the amendment, but they did by the end of the day. We'll have to put $500,000 back into it and only bring $11.7 million back.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, if the Senator have some letters and written information, if he could get that to me, it would be helpful.
Further questions? Senator Von Plater.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question for the good Senator from Laramie. This is really great. The picture diagrams and everything makes it somewhat understandable. But from the budget reserve account down to the permanent mental trust fund on both the House profiled and House unprofiled, is that the $106 million? Is that a statutory requirement, or is that we don't have it on our profile? I'm wondering what the difference is.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, the statutory reserve of 5% is not on this sheet, does not reflect. If you want to see where that 5%, what that requires is the governor is required by law to submit to the legislature a budget which provides for a 5% reserve, which happens to be $75 million. If you were to look at your goldenrod and you look at the general fund / BRA balance, that should equal at least $75 million to sustain that 5% statutory reserve. And if you look at that today, you'll see that the on the day's profile, the House is underwater by $18 million, so that they're really underwater, 18 plus the 75. And if you look at ours at 180, you would take off the 75, then you were really about 105 over water. So that's where you apply that statutory reserve. It has nothing to do with the savings distributions, other than the savings distributions is where you get to have that $75 million.
The legislature is not required to abide by that, but that's just generally a good fund balancing to make sure you can write your checks on any given day.
Further questions from the Appropriations Committee? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Senate file, Senate Amendment number 3012, we took out a little over $2 million for a new grant program in family services that was pretty ill-defined. Am I right in thinking that there isn't a comparable House amendment and that such an amendment wasn't even offered over in the House?
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, there isn't a similar amendment, and whether one was offered or not, I don't know. I wasn't told. And that is out of the tobacco fund rather than general fund.
Further questions of the Appropriations Committee? Further questions on the explanation of the amendments? Any further questions? Seeing none. There being no further amendments, to House Bill number 1, under the budget bill procedure specified in Joint Rule 14-1, House Bill 1 is referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members from each House to meet to resolve the differences between the Houses with respect to both budget bills, Senate File 1 and House Bill 1. The conferees from the Senate will be Senator Hines, Chairman, Senator Schiffer, Senator Cole, Senator Anderson, and Senator Vasey. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk for this time. Did you choose to go into Committee of the Whole or send us to lunch?
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
The motion is that the Senate be in recess till 2 p.m. Announcements. Announcements. Senator Hines.
Mr. President, when we was on our tour here a couple of weeks ago to the university and we went to the Wyoming State Debt Lab, there was some questions and talk about we didn't have enough time for some people to really understand the different things they was explaining to us. And so they have offered to have a State Lab visit this coming Saturday, February 26th, from 10 a.m. until noon, and they have some different categories of the things that we looked at in the lab, and they was wanting to know whether there's enough interest for them to go ahead with this program. So I have a sign-up sheet here on my desk. If any senator is interested in that, well, please let me know, and we'll pass that information on. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you make an announcement on Committee 12?
We'll meet Tuesday, February, today at 1 p.m. in Senate Room 5, to take up House Bill 281, Engrossed Legislative Compensation, House Bill 290, State Elected Official Service on Boards and Commissions, and House Bill 149, Engrossed State Building Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Any other announcements? The motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is in recess until 2 p.m.